Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our final Anchored in the Word morning reflection for the week. And I hope that the study that we've been doing this week has been encouraging to you. And I know that suffering is a part of life that we deal with that is really difficult to make sense of sometimes. And it is no easy task to address a topic like this, but it is so important. It's so foundational to a healthy view of God, a healthy view of circumstance, and navigating these things well. And so the topic we've addressed this week is how God takes suffering and he uses it to shape us into spiritually matured individuals. And so I love Psalm 40. It has really been a comfort to me, and I hope it's been a comfort to you as well. What I'd like us to do is read through this text one more time, and I'd like to share with you some final thoughts about the text in front of us. Here's what the word says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This morning, what I'd like us to do in our final thoughts is notice how God uses suffering to refine our commitments. And this is something that you've probably experienced at different times in your life. When you go through a time of difficulty, God uses that to not just shape your perspective and shape you as an individual and drive you to himself, but he uses that to refine what you are choosing to commit your time and energy to. And we see an example of this in David's life. In verse 7, he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. What was his passion? It was simply to do the will of God. And so we see a commitment to obedience in verse number 8. We also see in verses 9 and 10 a commitment to proclaiming the gospel. He says, I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth. What is David saying? The difficulties of life caused me to commit to obedience, and it made me live for what is most important, eternity in the gospel. Another example is what we find in verses 11 and 12. He began to have a much more committed prayer life. He said, withhold not your tender mercies from me. Let thy loving kindness and truth continually preserve me. Innumerable evils have compassed me. Mine iniquities have taken hold on me so that I'm not able to look up. What is David doing? He's praying. He's recognizing that it is God who sustains him, and it's God who's going to carry him through these difficulties. And so we see this commitment to prayer. We see this commitment to an unreserved dependence on God. He says, be pleased to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. He's committed to walking in dependence on the Lord. And then we see in verse 16, he was committed to considering the needs of others. He says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Lastly, he was committed to a humble view of self. In verse 17, he says, I am poor, I am needy, yet the Lord thinks on me. Thou art my helper and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. What is David saying about himself? He's saying, I recognize that it is God's mercy and kindness that thinks on me. I don't deserve these things. He had a lowly view of self. All of these things are an expression of how suffering refined David's commitments. He was beginning to live his life in the light of those things in a much more committed fashion and in a way that truly honors the Lord. And so the question is, how do you apply all this? Let me give you some thoughts. The first is this. Suffering is a part of life, but it does not have to be a wasted part of life. In other words, God can use all things, even the hard things, and the painful things, the confusing things, to accomplish good in our lives. Everything in our life is meant to point us to Him and to shape us into the image of Christ. And so we need to be reminded of this constantly, that life is going to be full of trouble, but these troubles don't have to be wasted, and God uses them. So I want to leave you with three comforting thoughts that I hope will be very practical. The first is this: there's a comforting promise in the Word that really couples well with what we see in Psalm 40. Romans chapter 8 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." What is the promise? The promise is God uses everything to accomplish good in the life of the Christian. Secondly, I want you to notice an inescapable process that is a part of this work of shaping us into the image of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "We know that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Or in Romans chapter 12, he says that we are not to be conformed to this word, but to be transformed through the renewing of our minds. So while God makes the promise, we have to recognize that there are means through which He accomplishes the promise. And the means through which He accomplishes the promise are the difficulties of life, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, all working together to shape us into the image of Christ. And then the third thing I want to leave you with is that this is a messianic prophecy. At the heart of the comfort of Psalm 40 is the Lord Jesus Christ, who the psalm actually is pointing us to. And I want to remind you that the comfort that we receive as Christians is a uniquely Christian kind of comfort. Not a, "I hope this is how it works," or "let's just assume this is how it works," but this is a based on the authority of Scripture, knowing who Christ is, what He has done for us, we have comfort kind of a promise. And so Psalm 40 is actually quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, and listen to what it says. He says, "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, being the Lord Jesus, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings, sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now this psalm is messianic. It points to Christ, and it points to Christ through the circumstances that King David was experiencing. What we see in these verses is that suffering is an inescapable piece of the process that develops Christ-like character. And it's also, at the same time, the primary piece of the platform through which a person's true character is tested and revealed. That's important for us to remember. When we suffer and we are shaped into the image of Christ. When Christ suffered, He wasn't shaped in the image of Christ. He was demonstrating Himself to be the righteous one. And so while one suffering refines a person who is not yet conformed to the image of Christ, suffering for the Lord Jesus revealed His character and His nature. And so this psalm ultimately pointed to the Messiah, who would be tested. He would demonstrate His inherent righteousness through those tests. And He would humbly go to the cross to establish the one and only basis through which we can be sanctified once and for all. We are forgiven, we are cleansed, we are positionally righteous in Christ, positionally called saints, and it is through the power of the gospel that we are shaped into the image of Christ. Psalm 40 points to all those things. And so that leaves me with one final thought. Have a great weekend as you ponder these things. Reflect on the practical implications of Psalm 40. Reflect on the messianic implications of Psalm 40. And remind yourself day by day that you can overcome and you can triumph through the challenges of life in a uniquely Christian way because of what Christ has done for us. Have a blessed rest of your weekend. Lord willing, we will see many of you on Sunday. Bye now.